You may be seated. Do want to welcome our visitors, Ernie and Lorraine. Good to have you this morning. They came all the way from Phoenix just to be in our service. No, actually, he's in the military here, and so glad to have him. Sophie, good to have you this morning as well. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And we are going to be looking at verses 11 through 15 this morning. And it tells us here in verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, Lord, give us wisdom. Teach us your word. Lord, help us to recognize the seriousness of the moment. Help us to understand that you are a God who is watching all that we do. Bless us now. And work in our hearts, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we dealt with the subject of hell. And we saw that there are three words that are used regarding hell. There is Tartarus, which has to do with the demonic abode of those demons who have rebelled against God. There's a place called Sheol, Old Testament, Hades in the New Testament. And in that place is a place which we have described last week was a place where it was a temporal holding place for those in the Old Testament, I believe, and even in the New Testament, even before Christ rose from the dead. It was a temporary place that held both righteous and unrighteous. But at the ascension of Christ, I believe that Christ delivered those people out of that portion of Hades. We saw 2 weeks ago that there was a place called Gehenna. And Gehenna is that place that is the eternal punishment of souls. And we looked there and we saw that it's such a terrible place that you'd be better off to go through life with one eye than to go to Gehenna with both eyes. It'd be better to go through life with one foot than to go to Gehenna with both feet. It'd be better to go through life with one hand than to go to Gehenna as a place where you would have both hands. It's a place we call hell, obviously, but yet, as you'll see here in verse 14, that hell is cast into the lake of fire, which is Gehenna. Now, we saw last week that there was the beggar. And what ultimately happened to the beggar? He died, but ultimately he went to the place, I believe, of that compartment of Hades. Now, there's disagreement over that. But there is the sense that the Scripture teaches us that he went to Abraham's bosom, which ultimately led him to heaven. But then there's also, the Bible tells us that there was a rich man. And what happened to him? He died. But he went to hell, Hades, that temporary place until we come to verse 14, where is the lake of fire. So, this morning, I want to preach on the second death. I just want to talk about the second death. And we see that just as the beggar died, and just as the rich man died, the Scripture tells us that you are going to die. Interesting, Genesis chapter 5, you'll see over and over again, it says, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. I mentioned this morning, two of our charter members have died. And the fact is, you are going to die. Hebrews 9:27 tells us it's appointed unto men once to die. But after that, the judgment. I mentioned many times that one of the prevailing ideas that captured my heart to help me to come to God was the fact that I was going to die. And you are going to die. So, it's interesting that we see in verse 12 of the book of Revelation, and it says, and I saw the dead. I saw the dead. It's interesting how different people see death. I used to think years ago, you know, anybody would want to turn to God when they went to a funeral. I found that that is not the case. As a matter of fact, I've had people argue with me about Jesus Christ in a funeral home. And it's interesting how people, when they die, and people come to see that, they have all kinds of ideas. And, you know, they'll look at that person in the casket and say, boy, doesn't he look peaceful? You might even have a preacher stand up and say, he's gone to a better place. And the fact is, the Bible tells us that there is going to be a place that a person who looks peaceful in the casket could be as the rich man in torment. The craze of the day, I don't know if you know this, is cremation. I have a personal friend who works at the funeral, I mean at the graveyard up in Pontiac, Michigan. And I was talking to him about some of the things that they were doing. I thought, well, that's kind of different. And as a matter of fact, what was happening was, and I hadn't seen this before, that when people were being buried, the family stayed around and watched them throw the dirt in, and then they left. I hadn't seen that. So I said to him, I said, well, that seems different. Is that something new? And he said, oh, no, we've been doing that a long time. He said, but what is different is the amount of cremations. And so, you know, I've been at funerals. I preached a funeral where there was a cremation. And they have that little urn up there, and they're just in a little container. And yet, the Bible tells us that nonetheless, they have died. The Bible tells us what God thinks about people who die. And it tells us how He sees things. And that's why the Apostle John, who wrote under the inspiration of God the book of Revelation, he points out in verse 12, I saw the dead. Now, I don't know how you view your death. As Matter of fact, some people want to take their life. You know what they're thinking? I'll get out from under the pain. But you know what? They can find themselves in more pain. So, what does John see? And we're going to see here how John, under the inspiration of God, tells us about the dead. Number one, John saw the dead stand. Now, that's an interesting thing. It's hard to imagine a person who turns into dust standing. It's hard to imagine when that person in the grave or in that casket, and as we see, that dust turns to dust. We're also told that Lazarus in John chapter 11, when he died after 3 days, he started to stink and his body began to decompose. It's hard to imagine when a person's body has been burnt up and it's in an urn. It's hard to imagine them standing. And yet, the Scripture says that is so. And God is going to give dead people a body that will never die. Think of that. It will never die. Now, we don't know how that is, but we know it can happen. When we see that in the case of the burning bush, Moses was at the burning bush, and yet Moses was astonished because that bush did not burn up. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the furnace of the fiery dungeon, it tells us that their body was existent there, but it did not burn up. As a matter of fact, you couldn't even smell any smoke on them. So I don't understand how God is going to create a body that will never burn up, will never disappear. But the Scripture, the Bible, if we believe the Bible, do you believe the Bible? How many of you believe the Bible? Okay, so if you believe the Bible, you can know for a fact it is true, and that every dead person who's ever existed is going to continue existing. And in this case, we see that the dead stand. Just as I'm standing here, after you die, you will not quit existing, you will continue. Now, in this portion of Scripture, we know that the ultimate destination is the lake of fire. But it tells us here, where will the dead stand? So what do we see? We see, secondly, the dead stand before God. Look at verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great. Doesn't matter how great you are, doesn't matter how important you are, or how unimportant you are. You're going to stand, but where are you going to stand? Verse 12, before God. And people will stand before God on His throne. And it's interesting that they will stand there before God, and God will look in them, and they'll look on God. You know, people will stand before God, and He's going to be on His throne, which is a picture of His authority. You know, I remember getting a speeding ticket. I won't ask you if you've ever gotten one of those. And I got a speeding ticket, and I went to the judge. And I remember they gave me a time, you got to come and appear before the judge. And I had to appear before the judge at that court. It was in Abilene. And I'm standing there. And just as I had to appear before a judge, the Bible tells us that there will be people who are going to stand before the judge, the eternal judge. You know, we cannot avoid this. We cannot say, well, it doesn't matter. The truth is, it does matter. The third thing we see here is not only are the dead standing and standing before God, the dead stand before God to be judged. To be judged. And it tells us there in verse 13, at the end of the verse, it says, they were judged. And one day, people will appear before God to answer for the way they lived. Now, we somehow get this impression that we're going to just continue to live. We can go day after day after day. I think there's an innate gift of God, really. And sometimes it can be an avoidance of an individual, but I think it's a gift of God that we don't want to think about death very much. You know, you talk to people and you say, you know, what would happen when you die? Well, I don't think about that. And you can go on day after day after day and ignoring the subject, but the fact is, one day, you're going to die. And when people die, they will appear before God. Why? To answer for the way they lived on earth. You know, when I went to the judge and I went to court, and I didn't appear before the judge to get the chance to meet this guy. You know, it wasn't like, man, I wonder who the judge in Abilene is. I want to go see him. No. You know why I went? I appeared so he could make a determination about me. And the determination was, you're either guilty or you're not guilty. And that is what happens when the scripture tells us that when these people appeared before God, this was to make a determination about them. And when God looks at your life, He will determine that you are either guilty or not guilty. So, they appear before God to be judged. The fourth thing we see here is that they appear before God to be judged by books. By books. Now, it's interesting because when I think of books, you know, you think of, you know, here's this paper bound and you're going to have these pages turned, and I don't know exactly how these books are going to be. Now we can read books online, right? It's amazing how in my cell phone I'm able to pull up the Bible at almost any version and it all appears on this phone. So, it should not be too puzzling for us that God is going to look at our lives and He's going to show us by books about our lives. And God is keeping track of everything you do. And it's kind of an interesting track, and I printed it out by computer, so I was able to just get online, pull it out. There was an interesting little gospel tract that I remember reading before I was ever saved, and it was called, This Was Your Life. How many have ever seen that? It's amazing. Chick Tracks. I don't always endorse Chick Tracks, but this was a fascinating thing. And as an unbeliever, I remember looking at this, and someone had given me this, and I was reading through it. And I won't read all of it, but it says, the very first picture was, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And here's this guy, got a pipe in his mouth, and he's drinking something, got a nice car. And then the next picture shows this demonic character with a sickle, and the verse down there says, But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And so he apparently has a heart attack, and he's dead, and his spirit goes up. And the verse there is, It appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And I just found this fascinating, just looking at it again. Here's the dead man, the dirt's covering him, he's in his casket, and the preacher saying he was a good man. And Isaiah 64:6 says, But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And so it shows him here, him rising, his soul being taken, and he says, I'm dead, how can this be? And he is taken to the place where he stands before God's throne. And they were looking at his life in, you know, kind of a picture screen as a baby. And how he was sinning, and they had pictures of that. And he cries out, Why didn't somebody warn me? And Matthew 10:26, For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Then they show him in church, kind of like you right now. And the preacher is preaching that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. And it shows him thinking in church, I wonder who's winning the ball game. The preacher goes on, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know what he's thinking? I could care less. What time is it? Why didn't anybody warn him? Well, that little track goes on and says what could have been his life. But the point is, God is keeping track, folks. This is not Mother Goose. This is not some storytelling time. The Scripture tells us that there is a time when you are going to die. And I remember before I was saved reading that and thinking, wow, that's kind of interesting. And then within a short time after that, I almost died. And it's interesting that the Scripture tells us that the books were opened. Now, I've often wondered about those books. The Scripture gives us some indication of those books. There's the book of conscience. In Romans chapter 2, verse 15, says that the law is written in our hearts. And God sees what's going on. And yet, in our conscience, even if a person has never read the Bible, he knows within himself between right and wrong. And so at least a part of those books that are open. If you'll notice there in verse 12, that I saw the dead small and great stand before God and the books were opened. I know for a fact one of those books would say, this is what how you violated your conscience. We're told in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 36 and 37, that there's also going to be a book of words. Jesus said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the days of judgment. And God is going to hold you accountable for every single word. And He is going to listen to what you say. He knows every curse word. He knows every statement of profanity. He knows every dirty joke you've ever told. He knows every word of gossip. Every word. I believe those will be in a book. We're told in Romans chapter 2, verse 16, that God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. I believe there's a book of secrets. That little gospel tract has a picture of a woman walking by and the man looking at her and lusting in his heart. And interesting, he says in there, no one was seeing that but me. And I believe that at least one of those books, because you'll see it's in the plural there, would be the Book of Secrets. And obviously, there's the book of works, because it tells us here, and it says, and the dead were judged out of those things. This is verse 12, which were written in the books according to their works. So, every bad deed, every good thing, every bad thing, with good motives, every good thing with bad motives. God is going to look at that. And when God looks at that, and as I've described that, think about what has happened in your life. Could you say you're good enough to go to heaven? Can you say, I have not deserved any payment of wrong or judgment that would not deserve payment for wrong deeds? Galatians 3 verse 10 says, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the law to do them. And even if you were to quit sinning, from this day forward, you will still be held accountable for every sin you have ever committed in your life. Because the Bible tells us that sin is the transgression of the law. And because sin is the transgression of the law, then we know that those laws that you have broken have been sinful, and no man will ever get to heaven until he is willing to admit he is a wicked, wicked person in the sight of God. So, we find here that the dead stand before God to be judged by books, but there's one book, right? And what is that book? In verse 12, it's called the Book of Life. And it says in verse 13 that the sea gave up the dead. So even people who died at sea will be there. And death, everybody who has died will be there. Everybody who had been in Hades will be there. And they were judged, every man, according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. In verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. So we find here that this book of life is a book that contains everybody that's going to go to heaven. And if you look over to chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, it tells us in verse 27 that it says, there shall no wise enter into it, talking of heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So the only ones who will go to heaven are those whose names, or if you're on an individual basis, your name is in the book of life. This book contains the names of all who shall inherit eternal life. I used to play basketball very poorly, I might add. And I didn't really excel in basketball, but I liked the sport. And I remember in junior high trying to make the list to be on the basketball team. And I remember they said, okay, your name's going to be up there if you are on the list. And I remember when the list was going to be out there, I remember going up to the list and I looked through it and I thought, I'm not there. And as disappointing as that is, can you imagine somebody who is before this judgment, hoping that somehow their name pulls up, and yet they say, God says it is not there. So it is eternally important to find out if your name is in that book. And that's really the question you have to ask yourself. Is your name in that book? How would you know? Well, let's leave Revelation and let's go, and we'll come back to this in Revelation chapter, 1 John is where we want to go. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And it tells us how you can know if your name is in that book. Because there's a record being kept. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, and this is the record. And this record is that God hath given to us eternal life. So how can I know if I'm on that record or if I'm in that book? Well, because it says that it is in His Son. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Well, what's so important about His Son? Well, we don't have to look far in Scripture, and we can see many verses. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 tells us that God showed His love through His Son in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took our place. He became our substitute. He saw that you had sinned, and He said, because you have sinned, then I am going to die for that. Now, how could He do that? Well, His Son. It's God's Son. God's Son has never sinned. I cannot die for your sin, but God can die for your sin. I cannot die for your sin because I have sinned. I am not qualified to pay for your sin. I've got to pay for my own sin. But God the Son never sinned and He paid for your sin. Your past sin, your present sin, and your future sin. Because every sin that you have ever committed was future when Jesus died on the cross. And He died for your sin. And that's why John 3:16 says that whosoever believeth in Him will not perish. Now, it tells us here that verse 12, if you have the Son, if you have believed in Him, then it says that you have life. That's eternal life. But the people that are being described in Revelation chapter 20 are people who have not believed in Him. It tells us in Revelation 20 that whosoever is there, their names are written in the books, but their name is not written in the book of life. They're cast into Gehenna, where it would be better to go through life one-eyed, one-handed, one-footed. It's a place where the worm dieth not. It's a place where it is eternal torment. And it tells us there in 1 John chapter 5, if you do not have the Son, you do not have life. Your name is not written in the book of life. Now, verse 13 tells us, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know. So this is something you can know now. I would not want to be one individual on this earth who had 1% doubt whether or not I am in the book of life. Because you don't have to doubt. Because that 1% doubt, if you are wrong, could send you or could see you in hell. And the Scripture tells us that God died for your sins. Now, we quoted John 3:16. How many know John 3:16? Okay, of course I quote it all the time. Whosoever believeth in Him. So that tells me that I have to realize I have a need that would inspire me to call on Him. So what does that mean to believe in Him? Well, it means, number one, recognize that you have broken God's holy law. You have broken it. Whether in your conscience, whether in secret, whether in your words, whether in your works, you have broken God's law, and all have sinned and broken God's law. There is none righteous, no, not one. So you need to recognize that you have broken God's holy law. You say, well, I recognize that, so I'm going to heaven. No. Number two, you need to understand that Jesus is God, died for your sin, and rose again. You got to believe that. He is God the Son. He had paid the full sufficient payment for your sin. You say, well, I believe that. But we're always reminded, aren't we, that the devils also believe that. So the third thing you need to recognize is that you need to appropriate it. Or in other words, take it for yourself. Christ Jesus, take Him by faith, trusting in Him to be your personal Savior. So you need to appropriate it for yourself, which means that you've got to change your mind about your sin. You've got to change your mind about God. You've got to change your mind about your abilities. You see, some people, so I believe in Jesus, but they want their sin. They'd rather have their sin than Christ. Some people say that they're saved, but they have a wrong opinion about God and His justice and His judgment. You've got to change your mind about that. Some people think they're saved because they believe that they've done good enough. That, yeah, you know, nobody's perfect. But you've got to change your mind about that because it's going to take perfection to go to heaven. And the only way that's possible is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So that means that you need to change your mind about your sin, about God, and about your abilities, and rely in Jesus Christ to be the full payment for your sin. It's reliance. Just as you're relying on that pew to hold you up, you have to put your reliance not in what you do. You know, I say to someone, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? You say, well, I'm a pretty good person. You know, that means they're relying on their being a pretty good person. How would you go to heaven? Well, I go to church, which means they're relying on their church going. You say, well, how would you go to heaven? Well, I teach Sunday school. That means they're relying on Sunday school to get them to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and Jesus said it. I am the way. And it's scripture. The scripture says you must rely on what He did for you on the cross. For by grace are you saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin. Saved from hell. By grace are you saved. And how is that? Through faith. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works. Now, we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And this is what confuses people. When people do get saved, they all of a sudden, as we're going to see this evening, and if they don't have it, they're not saved. Hungering, thirsting after righteousness. That is the result of being saved. And it's important that we understand this is what Jesus called being born again. And if you come back to Revelation chapter 20, and we come to chapter 20 because the book of Revelation is a compilation of all the ideas that we have studied from Genesis to the book of Revelation. And it tells us in verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Verse 8 of chapter 21, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So, Jesus said, you must be born again. What did He mean by that? Well, you have to recognize that you have offended a holy God. And you must understand that Jesus is God, died for your sins, and that you must take Him for yourself by changing your mind about your sin and about God and about your abilities and rely on Jesus alone. And Jesus said, that's what it means to be born again. And whosoever was not written in the book of life, verse 15, are those who have not been born again. So to be born again means that you are born how many times? Well, twice, right? Because I am physically born, but to be born again, I must be born spiritually. Now, when it talks about verse 14, the second death, These people spoken of in this verse, in these verses, how many times do they die? Twice. So, to be born twice is to be born physically and to be born again spiritually. To die twice is not only to die physically, but to die eternally in a place called the lake of fire. So, if you are born once, you will die twice. And if you die, if you are born again or twice, you will die once. Right? How many have ever heard that? Sure you have. Say it with me, since you know it so well. If you are born twice, you will be born physically and spiritually. You'll be born again. If you die twice, you will die physically, but you will also die eternally. So how about you? Now, I realize that most of you in this room have said you've been born again, but that doesn't make it so, but you've said it. You've told me that. And if that is not the case, then the Scripture tells us you need to be born again. Now, those of you listening online, I know there's some of you out there. My question to you is this. Have you been born once, or have you been born, or have you been born twice? Have you been born once, or have you been born twice? And the decision to that is going to be the determining factor whether you die once or twice. See, this is the second death. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Lord, we are truly amazed at what you do. And we ask, Father, that you would just somehow work in our hearts in a very definite and deliberate way. And Lord, as we've spent 3 weeks of terrible news regarding hell, we've also been reminding folks the wonderful news, the good news, the gospel, that we don't have to go to hell, that we can go to heaven when we die. And I ask, Lord, that you would just work in the hearts of anyone listening this morning. Lord, maybe there's somebody here in this room that claims to have been saved, but they're wondering if that's true. Lord, help us to be a help to them. Lord, I pray for those who are listening online who need to come to the Lord Jesus. Help them, Lord, to be saved. And Lord, we know that the dead, we're all going to die and we're going to stand and we're going to stand before you. And we're going to stand before you to be judged. And we're going to stand before you to be judged by our lives. Lord, I ask that you would just somehow work in a very special way with our head bowed and our eyes closed. If you're on the internet, thank you for listening. We certainly would love to be able to talk to you about this. Please let us be a help to you. For those of you in this room, the pianist is going to play, and God is going to trust work in your heart. And if He works in your heart, say, I don't know if I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. These things were written that you would know you're saved. In a moment, the pianist is going to play. And this is a wonderful opportunity for you to come to Christ. Let's stand to our feet as the pianist plays. God, work in your heart. You come. Look this way. Let me encourage you to come back this evening. We are looking at the way to happiness and going through the Beatitudes. And as I said this morning, very interesting verse about he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. I hope you'll come and be with us as we study that. Of course, this evening we'll be taking an offering for the FBF meeting down in Newton. And then, of course, afterwards, we'll have a short talk, I'm assuming, just talking about Brother Luke and his family. And then afterwards, we'll have a time of fellowships. God bless you. Thank you for coming this morning. Brother Joe, would you close us, please, in prayer?
Bless, Lord, this day in your mighty power. We give you all the glory.